This is basically an angling club proposed modification to the regulation concerning speckled trout. This was initially received in the form of a letter by the commission back in September 2009. It's evolved from its initial request. It's been to FMAC three times, and at the last FMAC meeting, they didn't agree totally with the proposal, but they agreed there was enough information at that time to move it to request a public hearing. What staff is asking is that you advertise the proposal as it was submitted, which would be a December 1 through March 31st time period, where the bag limit for speckled trout would be reduced from 10 fish to 5 fish. Additionally, only one fish over 24 inches would be allowed. I've included letters of support from the angling clubs. One letter didn't support their request, and the emails we've received so far. If you approve this, FMAC will have another chance to review and provide comments before a March public hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Young. Any questions for Mr. Brett?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I noted in some of the comments that there were concerns about netting in that area. Can you give us a sense of how much gillnet activity there is in there?
It's almost to the point where there's confidentiality issues, in that it's such a small amount and such a small number of people involved, at least that are reporting. Now, there's been a question as to whether or not this is legal netting to begin with, whether it's even commercial netting, whether it's even a person that has a commercial license that may or may not be doing. And that I can't really comment. We're trying to ferret it out to, you know, buy a river system, and it would be the Elizabeth River, to get an idea of what level it's occurring, if at all. There always has been some level of commercial gill netting there, but it's primarily for bait. Bait shops, particularly with the blue catfish up in the river systems, they have a demand for fresh bait all the time. There's the gizzard shad and mullet and other bait species. So it could be anglers are seeing net set, but it doesn't, my impression, the level of it is pretty minimal. The legal marked and reported gill netting. And again, it goes into question, well, could it be a recreational net that's being set and left illegally as well? But that was their initial proposal, was geared towards, they had heard that there was going to be an increase in gill netting there for those large speckled trout in the wintertime. And they were trying to preempt that. But as they got more and more into the issue, I think they realized that the bigger threat was the significant increase in recreational angling in that area.
Any other questions?
Had there been any studies performed at all?
Such as?
What the modification will do, anything along those lines?
You can't. And what's interesting is the way the recreational catch is estimated. It's done in 2-month waves. Probably the best time to fish those warm water discharges is January, February. They don't even sample in wave one. So not only with the resolution of the estimates, now you're asking to go from a regional estimate to a statewide to a river system estimate, but they're not out there even sampling for January and February. So, but I guess better, and I'll, if this moves on, I'll have information on it. I can show you citation data would indicate in terms of trophy fish, and I think I indicated that in the in this eval, within the last 5-6 years, it's the lion's share of the trophy fish that are registered. And a trophy fish currently is 5 pound or 24 inches or greater. The lion's share is caught in that wintertime in Mount Elizabeth River compared to the rest of the state for the rest of the year. So yes, it's quite a fishery. It's become very well known. It's a destination point even to the fish. I mean, if you were going to have a contest and say, okay, I'll pay $1 million to the first angler that could catch a 10-pound speckled trout anywhere on the East Coast, now in January, February, that hands down would be the spot. I mean, that's how good it is.
Well, the fishery in the Hot Ditch has produced a number of IGFA line class world records, so it is a unique fishery. And if effort is changing in there significantly, I think it would be prudent to at least have a hearing, let FMAT review it, and go forward.
Mr. Tanker?
One last question, I believe. Are fish being attracted to this as the temperature of the water decreases in the year? What's going on?
It's hard to say exactly. You know, you initially look at it and figure, well, they're moving down that side of the coast, and it's lower salinity water, but they sense it's a little warmer. But now you combine that with some of the tagging work, the volunteer angler tagging survey, and you see the fish return to that area. Now, are they attracted each time? That I can't say. But what does occur is once they get in that warmer plume, and it's not to say the ditch is where it is. The ditch is actually a canal that's built, man-made canal, where the Dominion Power discharges water that's going and cool their machinery. The river is impacted for several miles. Actually, I mean, it's not 80 degrees, but you see there is that thermal enhancement. Once the fish get in that plume, now this time of year, there's no way they can break outside, go outside the Elizabeth River. I mean, it's 40 degrees out.
Right.
40, 42. So they're confined, but you know they're not as confined as some people believed. And I think that's one of the things anglers learn, that they don't need to be sitting that 75-degree plume. They can go in middle to upper 40s area that's warm, fish are there and will be active. But effectively, I can't put boundaries on it, but effectively they're in that system. And if you get a spell of really cold weather, it's an area they can retreat into. It's deeper water. And we've heard about the fish kills the last two winters in Carolina. And that's common, it seems, with this fish as you move down the coast and in the Gulf. But their most common habitat is flat areas, shallow water flats, and you get a rapid decrease in temperature, and you have them at their end of their upper or lower end of their thermal tolerance, and it'll put them into shock. By having warmer water, or at least a deep water refuge, which the Elizabeth River offers, they can buffer any type of rapid air temperature decrease. And personally, I've never heard of a fish kill, any type of fish kill due to cold water shock in that Elizabeth River system. But you know, we have seen something maybe close to that in Lynn Haven at times, and certainly other species of fish. It's not unique to speckled trout. But they get in an area where they don't have a deeper water refuge to buffer the temperature drop, and they go into shock.
Interesting. So what you're saying is a combination of two things, both the river, the Elizabeth River, and this water temperature coming out of the plant there.
And certainly you've got all types of other fish associated with it, too. I mean, it wouldn't be unheard of if someone said, I caught a ladyfish in there this weekend. I mean, you get some truly tropical fish, same thing, they're in there and trapped. So there is a lot of forage base for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Bottlenose dolphin also. They're probably the only real predator in there that the larger speckled trout would be concerned with.
Any other question? Thank you.
And I guess there's several other areas in the state, too. Surrey, to a lesser degree. We see some speckled trout up in there. We get tag returns up in there. We see the York River hotfish, also to a lesser degree. Those are the three primary warm water discharge areas in the tidewater.
And so, follow up again, this would apply to those areas as well?
Well, the angling club request is statewide during that time.
Right.
Realistically, now in December, you can certainly find speckled trout other places. I personally have caught speckled trout in the middle of January from the Willoughby Jetty. So, I mean, they do occur in some years in other places in the state. But their proposal is statewide, but realistically, it's just for those areas. And you say, well, if it's just this boundary of the Elizabeth River and a boat leaves from Lynn Haven and goes, how do you enforce it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think what we've heard from the angling public is, in a number of the comments, is why not make it 5 fish year-round? 10 fish is in today's time of possession limits, is a pretty generous... So, yes, their proposal would be statewide
okay. For
those 4 months.
Anything else for Mr. Galileo? Thank you. We took this matter up several months ago. I chair the FMAC Finfish Committee. And at that time, we had a packed hearing because it was going to apply to commercial hook and line fishermen, too. They wanted to apply to everything, commercial gill netters. So they have reduced what they want because they realize where the real problem is. As far as you, Mr. Plumlin, asking about, has there been some kind of research about it? It's very hard to peg the numbers on recreational fishermen because anybody can buy a license. On a commercial, you know who has license and you can get a pretty good handle on things. But with a fishery world class like this, you probably have people speckled trout fishing there that have never speckled trout fished in their life anywhere else because of the potential of that. So this, when they came back to us this time, we had a very nice hearing. But the opposition was not there because they didn't realize it was coming back up again. And even there was some angler clubs that were not in favor of this, that were not represented. So at the end of our meeting, I thought we had enough to proceed with the public hearing, as well as the other board members did also. But we said we really needed to bring it back to FinFish so we could have the people who were opposed to it have a chance to have their say in the matter. And that's where we stopped. Basically, we wanted to have another chance at FinFish to do it, but we thought there was enough information, and the plan was moderated enough that we thought it was passable. So we asked it to be brought forward for a public hearing. So the matter's in front of you. Mr. Tanker.
I move to approve advertising the Anglers Club proposed modifications, possession, and size limit for speckled trout.
Second. Seconded by Mr. Lane. Any other discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries unanimously. Basically, that concludes our morning business.
Mr. Bowden, with regards to this decision, I would ask that the Norfolk Anglers Club receive a mailed notice of this item for the March hearing, so they're properly noticed, because they were the only club to have voiced opposition, I think, in their emails.
I think they were the only major club. It was individuals also, but it'll be advertised, and I'm sure they will be made aware of it.
Thank you.
Seeing nothing else to come in front of the commission in the morning, we can't hear fishery items until after 12 o'clock. I doubt lunch is here. It is here. How about we reconvene at 15 after 12?